At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The NFL draft. Now we have Jeff Kerr set to join us here on Birds 365. Let's go to Jeff now joining the show. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. Welcome to Birds 365 on this Monday morning. How you doing, Jeff? How was your weekend, brother?
It was great. I didn't have to talk about the NFL.
Well, you're back. You have to talk about it. Did you think you'd get started hearing about toe spacers? I got on a Lane Johnson tangent.
Yeah, you know what? I saw that when I jumped in the green room. I'm like, oh, it has to be about Lane Johnson, because he's the only one I could think of who would say that. Well, lo and behold, it was about Lane Johnson. Then Xander's giving me a countdown clock for the draft. I'm like, I can't wait for the draft to be over. This is the worst time of the NFL offseason.
Wow, really? Why do you say that? I disagree completely.
I hate mock drafts.
So you don't like the speculation. See, I'm not a reporter, so I have a little bit more fun with, you know, it's subjective, Jeff. So everybody can come up with every scenario in the world and try and make it plausible to as many people as they can.
I love the whole, let's do a mock draft with trades in it.
Oh my God, dude.
Those are terrible.
You know what? It's funny. When I am required to do one for CBS, I don't call it the bare minimum. I do it like, well, this is who I would pick, and I don't do any trades or anything like that. This is who you should pick based on not even a need. It's more of a what. And I'm like, okay. And somehow I get like 8 or 9 of these things right. And I'm like, how? How did I just do this?
See, it's funny, Jeff, because if I didn't know that about you, I would have guessed, just based on the way you love football, you love sports, you love what you do, I would say – Jeff Kerr loves to make mock drafts and put them on CBSSports.com.
There's a reason why I only do one.
It doesn't surprise me at all that Jeff doesn't like them.
I could see it.
You know, they're just incredibly dumb. And the problem from my perspective, I don't know about Jeff's. I only do one as well. Now, I do it a little bit differently. I try to project the teams, and I spend way too much time on it. So that bothers me as well, because I don't want to be the idiot. Like I in my email box, I get people sending me drafts and mock drafts. So very plugged in guy, and I'm not going to say it because I don't want to rip them, but I'm going to rip them. And here's the problem: you can't be tuned in to 32 teams, and obviously I'm very in tune to the Eagles.
And it's hard.
It's very hard to be tuned. And Jeff's got to do it more. I used to have to do it from a national perspective. Jeff's got to do it from a national perspective. I don't have to do that anymore. But this draft had Luther Burden going to the Eagles at 32, the wide receiver from Missouri. I can't guarantee a lot, but I guarantee the Eagles aren't taking a wide receiver at 32, barring the trade of A.J. Brown that everybody wants to turn into a self-fulfilling prophecy. However, that wasn't the thought process. At least if you throw that in there, I'd say, all right, well, that makes some sense. No, the sense here was Jahan Dotson is better suited to be a number 4, and they need a number 3. The Philadelphia Eagles, who throw the ball 25 times a game and maybe would throw it less, need a third receiver. Come on.
You know what my mock draft is going to be when I get to them at 32? They're going to trade the pick. That'll be my trade.
You just ripped trading in draft and mock drafts, and you got the birds trading out in your mock draft.
That's what they're gonna do. I called that seven years ago.
No, but I mean, there's a difference from saying a team would like to trade out. I'm not gonna tell you who they're gonna trade with.
Yeah, that's true.
Or because how the fuck would I possibly know that?
Well, we don't. See, this is why I don't like this point of the NFL all season. Everything is about clicks, clicks, clicks. What is going to get you to click on something? And I'm like, how about there's just no news and let it be what it be?
Because people got to make money, Jeff.
You can make money.
This is my livelihood, Jeff.
You can make money every other month of the year.
Well, no, I have a problem with clickbait any time of year, but I just don't like it. But I just go into evaluation mode. Like, what does this move mean? What should they do? I think that's quite honestly.
Next week I'll be more excited because the league meetings and we'll see what gets passed.
Rule changes.
Is it big owners meeting next week too? Yep.
Next week.
Yeah, start Sunday.
Are you down there for that or no?
So I went down last year. I won't be going down this year. It coincides with opening days, but I love going down there because you get to talk to pretty much anybody.
I might be going to Philly's opening day or the home opener, Jeff. I might have to try and link up with you down there if you're going to be down there.
I will be down there.
Yep. Yeah, nice.
All right, home opener coming up for the Phillies. Waste of time. The Dodgers are going to win the World Series. So we can fast forward to that, get back to the draft. If you had to pick a position, this is more valuable.
Boy, John, you sound like a certain radio station we all know. And let's go back to the Eagles.
Well, I'm an Eagles show, though.
Yeah, we're Braves 365.
They should. People get mad here when I talk about other teams, other NFL teams. So they sure as hell are going to be. I don't mind. I drop in some. You can talk about the Phillies. I don't care. I was just joking to piss off the Phillies people because, you know, they're a very good team, but they're probably not the best team.
Well, Phillies fans think their team's like the worst team on earth.
Well, that's not true. Yeah, they're a very good team. The worst team on earth is across the street at the Wells Fargo
Center. Yeah, they're pretty bad. You know, John, I have Ricky Ricardo just cracking up last night because he wanted me to spend some positivity in the Sixers. And I gave him like 3 minutes. He goes, that's three more minutes than I would have given them.
Quentin Grimes. Isn't he a free agent, though? Isn't he a free agent?
Is he? I got to double check that.
Yeah, I don't know. Any Sixers fans, let me know.
I play Quentin Grimes over half the people on that team.
Yeah, they who knows? Maybe they found a player. They'll probably lose him right away, but yeah, that could be the silver lining. So I gave you 10 seconds of silver lining for the Sixers. The Phillies are very good. There's your 10 seconds there. They're just, I mean, the Dodgers are ridiculously good. So,
By the way, John, it is funny. I'm gonna bring the Eagles into this now. Don't you think it's ironic how everybody complains about what the Dodgers are doing, gaming the system, but yet literally the Eagles do it?
Yeah. Oh, if your team does it, it's fine. That, you know, if your team is not doing it and is on the bad end of it, yeah, it's pain in the ass. That's just the natural nature of being a fan, I would think.
Yeah, and fans are allowed to think that, by the way. Yeah. It's natural. Yeah, like you said. It bothers me personally as someone who covers the Phillies. Like, I get mad when these pitchers from Japan make this BS excuse. Yamamoto did this. I don't know where Philadelphia is. Give me a break. I can name 10 cities in Japan. Shut up and just say, I wanted to go to the Dodgers because it's close to where I'm.
Well, you know, there's a lot of dumb baseball players, as you know. So yeah, I could.
There are.
I can believe he doesn't know where Philadelphia is. I can believe that.
He's lucky he could throw a forkball.
He had Dodgers or New York. Those are the only two cities that.
Yeah, I mean, people in Tokyo, especially young people,
especially when you come to America, they have no allegiance to America. So they come to America, they want to maximize their earnings and their play. They're going to the Dodgers or the Yankees. Let's be real. That's where they're going.
I used to laugh, like, and again, this is back when I was in college. Remember Daisuke Matsuzaka?
Oh yeah.
So Daisuke was an awesome pitcher in the World.
The gyro ball.
Yeah.
Oh, never existed, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love the guy, right? Like I loved watching him pitch in the World Baseball Classic, but I didn't think it was going to translate to Major League Baseball. The fact that Boston paid a $51 million posting fee and then had to pay him a huge contract, and Adam Eaton was just as good as he was. That's how.
Oh yeah, he wasn't that good.
No,
all those Japanese, Hideki Arabu, all those Japanese, they had these big reputations, and they'd come over and they go, all right. Some of them were good.
I mean, you guys had Hideki Matsui until the 09 World Series. He wasn't.
Yeah, he killed the Phillies.
Yeah, he did. And I'm like, the guy can't even run the bases.
That guy was good. He was a good hitter.
He was a good hitter. I would like to see him, you know, like him and Ichiro. I would love to see them.
Ichiro is maybe, you got to go back to, people are going to get pissed off, but you got to go back to Rod Carew or maybe Wade Boggs for a hitter, a pure hitter like Ichiro.
The fact that Ichiro got 3,000 hits in the majors and when he debuted is just beyond incredible.
Yeah. If you count his Japanese stuff, he's got more hits than anybody ever.
Yeah. What did he end up with? Like 1,200 hits in Japan or something like that?
Yeah, he's over Rose. I know that.
Yeah. How many years did he play over there? Like, how many years could he more have played in the MLB?
He started at 18. I think he came over here at 28. So it was at least 11.
Yeah.
He came over here. He was almost 30 and he got 3,000 hits. Yeah.
And he was a power hitter in Japan. He changed his game. That's what I love about him.
Well, you can still. There's a viral video of him just smashing. I mean, he could have hit 30 home runs a year if he wanted to.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's ever going to get 262 hits in a season again like he did. That was incredible.
Yeah. Like I said, you got to go back a long ways.
Yeah.
Rod Carew, maybe. If you want to go all the way back to Honus Wagner.
Do we want to go that far? By the way, anybody on the show has a Honus Wagner baseball card? I don't think you need to worry about working anymore.
Pete Rose. I mean, Pete, 4,000 whatever hits. But Ichiro's one of the best pure hitters I've ever seen. Maybe the best.
In my lifetime, he is.
Yeah. Anyway, there's your baseball talk. You can get that.
We're done now.
You can get that from Jeff at CBS Philly, and when he's on WIP, you can get his baseball talk. Here, we got to talk about football. So 32, you're right. I'm with you. More likely the Eagles are going to trade down than trade up, but everything is dependent on you got to worry about 31 other teams and where they're going. But if I'm playing the odds, Jeff Kerr, I'm going offensive line or defensive front. And because the defensive front, and this is about the first pick, whether it's 32, whether it's 28, whether they move down and it's 40-something, I'm going first player defensive front. What is Jeff Kerr going?
I still feel they're going to trade for an edge rusher at some point.
I got to believe they're going to add something. Something. Yeah.
You have 20 draft picks over the next two drafts. I think it's like 11 in the first three rounds. They're not using all those picks. They got collateral. They have a chance to actually get somebody. But I still think – I agree with you, John. I still think they'll go after an edge rusher regardless.
Yeah, they might. They trade up, Jeff? I'm with you. I think they could.
They could if there's a guy they like.
They got all these people to pay, so – these first picks that they have this year and next year, they're even more important than they were the previous years, and they hit on those picks. They need to hit again because they need to get cheap production. So I said to John, if they'd like to do it, I got to think they're gonna package some picks.
I'll tell you what, right now, Howie Roseman with draft picks, if he's at the roulette table, he's hitting red the entire time, man.
I mean, he is cooking on draft picks, man. It's hard to believe he could continue this level of success because the last 4 years have been insane in the drafting.
Oh, and by the way, if you count 2020, which was a terrible draft for them, they still got Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you got Jalen Hurts.
So you made up for like every other pick.
Exactly.
And so, by the way, the last time they started at 32, they went 5 for 5. Nobody gives them credit for that. I was just talking about that with Avante Maddox leaving for Detroit.
That's right.
Should mention that. Dallas Goedert, second round. Josh Sweat and Avante Maddox, fourth round.
That is a heck of a haul.
Matt Pryor, sixth round. Jordan Mailata, seventh round.
Woo!
By the way, all are in the league, too.
Matt Pryor's still in the freaking league. Now, he hasn't signed anywhere, but if he signs somewhere this year, he will go over 100 games as an NFL player.
That's a
successful pick.
Yeah, people don't get that. Well, who's Matt Pryor? He's a sixth-round pick. As a personnel person, you're say that's a gold star.
If you find
a guy in the sixth round that plays 100 games, now people will go, what about Jason Kelce? Yeah, that's a triple gold star.
Yeah. Oh,
when you find a Hall of Famer.
I almost lost it last week, John. I got an X story for you, and it has something to do with longevity of games played. So when I put up Brandon Graham's records with the Eagles, someone goes, what's so impressive about playing long? It doesn't mean you were good. I'm like, he played 200 games in the National Football League. Only 39 people have done it.
Yeah, and nobody's done it for the Philadelphia Eagles. Nobody's played as many games as Brandon Graham.
Come on. Like,
that should be a giveaway.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like people tell me Avante Maddox wasn't good, or as the geniuses on next say, he was ass.
Oh, yeah.
I told the guy off. I said, well, you know what? That's fine. Go.
You're still in the boat. It's funny because I'm in the mode where if somebody says stupid, I just completely mute them. But I acknowledge it took me a long time to get there. It's difficult, but you will get there, Jeff.
This is my philosophy on things. If you want to be stupid, that's fine. I'm going to make you look really stupid. You want to be dumb? Fine. The D students run social media. It just is what it is.
It is. D students. You're giving them. I don't think there's a passing grade there.
I'm trying to be a little more optimistic.
Yeah. Well, all right. Defensive end, because I'm glad you brought that up. Edge defender, whatever you want to call it. If they draft one, let's use Vander scenario, and they like James Pierce, or they like in Heat Balls because he had a shitty combine, or Shamar Stewart in Heat Falls because of the opposite. He had a great combine, but he had no production at Texas A&M. Or even throw in Jalen Walker if Heat Falls because he's from Georgia. And that's what the Eagles do. Even if they get one of those players, is that good enough at edge defender on this team?
I don't think so. I don't think so either. Yeah, I still think they need more. Like, you know, John, remember we talked about this last week. There's no way they're going into the year with what they got. Right?
I can't fathom it. I can't fathom it at that position.
And you're asking a lot out of a Walker or somebody like that to just come in here and get – 6 or 8 sacks for him, right? You know, we saw Nolan Smith. Like, now, granted, the Eagles also said they should have played Nolan more in year one, and they didn't.
Right.
And maybe Vic will play. But look, even Jalix Hunt, who was a project, if you had said Jalix Hunt's numbers at the draft, this is what he's going to have this year, this is what he's going to do in the playoffs, you would be like, man, that's a really good year.
Yeah.
People aren't going to take that this time.
Jeff, what do you project Nolan Smith to be next year? Because I think this conversation is made easier obviously none of us know, but John's right. The sample size on him is very small. Me personally, I'm projecting him to be a double-digit sack guy now. I think he's going to turn – I think he turned the corner last year. I think he's going to be that moving forward. What do you think Nolan Smith is going to be next year or moving forward?
I mean, if he has like 7 or 8 sacks and like 50 pressures, I think that's a hell of a year. Personally, I mean, double digits, it's hard to ask. It's hard to ask out of anybody.
Yeah. Well, the thing I try to bring up is right now, March 24th, He's the guy.
Yep.
He wasn't the guy last year. He wasn't the guy. Yeah. Josh was the guy. And then Jalen Carter in the interior.
And Bryce Huff. Remember Bryce Huff? This time last year, we thought Bryce Huff was going to be a big contributor.
Yeah. But my point is opposing offenses and their offensive line will now say, all right, we got to deal. He played 9 games. I think one of those things about how he's saying we got to play the young players, they didn't play Nolan Smith. Before Brandon got hurt, his high watermark was 33 snaps. November, so that was November 24th against the Rams.
That was week 12, yeah.
So for all the talk of we got to play young players and everybody goes back and they, you know, it's the I always joke, it's the Sugar Ray Leonard effect. You know, he boxed the last 30 seconds, and that's all that people remember. Nolan was great from November 24th on. If Brandon Graham doesn't get hurt, he never even gets that opportunity. And this is one thing where I push back because Sanders very high on him. I'm like, a really small sample size to say, all right, this is my guy. This is the centerpiece of my pass rush.
The headliner, as we've called.
Yeah.
You're asking a lot of Jalex Hunt, too.
Oh, yeah, even more.
Well, here's my estimation. If last year Josh Sweat was your headliner, and I agree, he was. That he was your best pass rusher. He was an every down type of guy, could good against the run, all those things. If Nolan Smith can become that, and I know that might sound big, I don't think that's crazy. I think Nolan Smith is capable of being what Josh Sweat was. Can the rest of the group, Azeez, Uche, Bryce Huff, a first-round draft picker, whoever they take in the NFL draft, can those combination make up for the production you got from the other guys? Because outside of Sweat last year, it was a piecemeal effort, right? You got a little bit from Jalex. You got a little bit from Nolan. You got a little bit – you really didn't get much from Bryce Huff. But, you know, can you get a little – can I get a couple of pressures and sacks from Uche, from – Azeez, from, I don't know, maybe you can't, but if you're not asking them to be a every down contributor, are they guys that can give you something and you can kind of piecemeal making that pass rush? That might be what they're looking at.
Yeah, it's funny too, because as much as I don't like how the pass rush is set up right now, I do think there's an upside in Uche. I think he can contribute to this team. I think Azeez could contribute to this team, but you can't go in the year with this. This is a big, like right now, and again, I'm going to use a card reference. You know, if you're playing poker right now, jeez, what do you have, a pair of threes? Like, you're really going to try to win on that?
Right.
I don't know. I just feel like you got to improve your odds a little bit.
Especially this team and what they value and where they place their value. I just cannot believe that they will head into the season with where it stands right now.
Not the way this team thinks.
And there I lead you down the Trayvon Walker path.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know.
See, don't you think like it's going to be a move like that, like a Trayvon Walker
type? Yes. Now, I don't know if he's available.
It might be.
Well, remember, guys, we weren't supposed to be here. Bryce Huff was supposed to be a good player. That was their estimation. That was their evaluation.
And so, by the way, their evaluation might – Howie might be telling the truth and say, hey, we got to play him again.
Yeah, and they might be.
You can't get rid of them.
It's surprising the Eagles are here based on their philosophy. Well, they did kind of prep for this. They just made the wrong evaluation, at least up until this point.
Look, if Bryce Huff turned in what they wanted, they wouldn't have a problem right now at all.
We'd be good. We wouldn't even be talking as much about edge rusher.
I mean, this is how far Bryce Huff has fallen. If you would have said back when you signed Bryce Huff, he's not going to play in the Super Bowl. You would have said he's injured. Well, first, I think the fan reaction would have been, wait, we're in the Super Bowl?
I would argue he was injured.
Yeah, he was, but... You still play Brandon Graham over
and
him.
He was well, and Brandon.
Well, I play Brandon Graham over him too, but that's
not. Well, you know, Vic loves Brandon, like everybody who's ever met Brandon.
I'll tell you what, Vic. This is how Vic used Brandon Graham. This is my racing analogy here. There was nothing left in the fuel tank, and Vic's like, "I'm going to get every little ounce out of that."
He admitted he was going to play him. That's why I've said very early on, Xander can attest to this. I said it's going to be, it's going to be counterintuitive, but he's going to play more this year, Brandon Graham, because he announced that this was going to be his last season. Man, Vic pretty early clued me into, yeah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm going to play. And he did before he got hurt, up till he got hurt. He played him more than everybody expected. And that was the reason why, because there was no need to keep him on a pitch count because he wasn't coming back.
By the way, John, have you and Xander talked about this at all? Do you think there's any – I've been not saying I'm hearing rumblings, but people are trying to connect the dots here. We knew the Eagles were interested in the guy last year. Do you think there's any chance Justin Simmons ends up here?
Oh, yeah. Big chance.
Yeah.
But
after Meg.
After the draft, yeah. So yeah. I think it's Monday or Tuesday after the draft. It no longer counts towards the comp pick formula. So they have to wait to then because he's going to make too much money.
I'll tell you what. Again, I'm hitting the guy in the face on the way out the door. But, boy, is that a 180 personality from CJ.
Yeah, it is. And Vic loves him. Look, somebody else might come in with major money and, you know, he might go in a different direction. But I think there's a good chance. But that's after the draft, Justin Simmons.
Yeah, and yeah, because you're not giving up a comp pick for him. And they're not going to want to do that anyway. But, yeah, I think that's very possible. I still think there are a couple guys they could get. There are a couple free agents left I still like, but no one's going to sign these guys right now because of the comp pick stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's you know, Chris Long territory, LeGarrette Blount territory, Mekhi Becton territory. That's May. That's May signings.
Jeff, it's a young man's game, but you get the feeling at all that they're almost too young. Like, if you think about it, you lost Slay, you lost BJ. You know, Sweat was the oldest guy in the edge room. He's out the door. Your leader in that room is Nolan Smith. What's Nolan Smith, 24, 23, 24 years old?
Is he 24 yet?
I don't know. But
he's 24. He turned 24 in January.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah,
he just turned 24. I mean, this is a young football team, Jeff. Even on the offensive side of the ball. Wait, now Goddard might be gone. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but we're speculating it might be. I mean, you know, who's your oldest guy on the offense? Saquon Barkley, I think. I mean, this is a young football team.
I kind of like the whole you're taking a step back to take two steps forward.
Yeah, I like that too. But how quick will they take the steps forward, I think, would be the question there.
Yeah, I mean, you've still got the core guys in place, right? Yeah, we're talking about offense. Their offense is still ridiculously young, as you said, Xander. I mean, you know, one guy I'm really hoping pans out is Kenyon Green, because I liked him a couple of years ago, and I just think Houston's a disaster at developing offensive linemen. I mean, I'll give Laremy Tunsil a lot of credit. He was like one of the better tackles in football, despite the disaster around him. So, yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, I think there's a good chance that I've said it, you know, the Eagles lost Brad Johnson as well.
That was a big loss.
Which I think, you know, people – you know, snicker at whatever. That's a pretty good swing tackle. So now you got to replace right guard. You got to get a swing tackle. I think the assumption is, I'm going to throw this at you.
I loved this, John.
The assumption is Tyler Steen's going to be a guard. Now he was a tackle his entire career in college, played 4 years at Vandy, 1 year at Alabama, played right tackle at Vandy, left tackle at Alabama. So he's played both, but his arms were too short. I think they were 32 5/8. So everybody projected him inside to guard at the end of that's what they do. It's like Marcus Embo, who's in for a visit. His arms, he played tackle, but his arms are too short, so he's going to play guard at the NFL level. Yada, yada. I've always seen Tyler Steen, when he takes tackle, he's far more comfortable with tackle. So if Jeff Stoutland can get Kenyon Green up to speed, He's your right guard. Tyler Steen's your swing tackle. Like it or dislike it?
I like it, personally, because you're replacing Fred Johnson with an in-house player that can play. In a way, he's kind of like – Tyler Steen's kind of like how Jack Driscoll became for this team for a lot of years. Like, you could play him at tackle if you needed to. Probably would have been a, quote-unquote, better fit at guard, but I trust Tyler Steen if he has to go out there and play a game, just like I did Fred Johnson. I kind of like it.
And, you know, they might draft a tackle. They've already brought in four.
Yeah, they brought four already. Yeah. That's, you know, we're talking about top 30. Well, by the way, I do get excited for them. I do like the top 30 visits because it seems like who they're interested in or what direction they're going in, which we kind of know. But it's like, oh, that's the player they're connecting.
Yeah. Well, and they usually take some guys off their top 30 list. So, you know, Nolan was here as a top 30. Even guys they brought in and they traded for Darian Thompson Robinson. He was Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, they brought him in, didn't
Yeah, he was a top 30. But Kenyon Green was.
Yeah, Kenyon Green was. Yeah. It's funny how it always circles back to him. It's like you have the notes in the back of the office. Okay, let's get them out. John, yeah. I will say this about this. I don't even want to call it a dead period of the NFL all season because there really isn't. Don't you miss when the schedule came out in April?
No.
I had to ask.
Well, again, and people say McVeigh hates every, which is probably right, but like I hate the it's a win, it's a loss game. I hate that more.
Oh,
than
I hate that too. And I have to do that. I'm like, I don't know how they're gonna do.
I hate it. Now, Jody used to – I like Jody's exercise of, you know, when you project a team 11-6, if you're forced to go up one or go back one. I'd like that.
Yeah, that is a good exercise.
I'll tell you what, John, and you've been on this show before when Jody was here. When Jody and I would go back and forth over week one, because you know what my old saying, you don't know you suck in week one.
Yeah.
The Patriots won in week one.
I believe that too. You never want to play a really bad team early. No, when they have, you never when do. They have hope and confidence, and you're probably going to win, but it's more difficult.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what I get on the Bengals about. Like, the Bengals were like, oh, we got up for sure. I'm like, you lost to the Patriots in week one. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
You had a layup and you missed it.
Happened. I remember speaking about that very thing about Detroit. I was telling Jody they played week one.
That's where we got into the argument.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah. I said, that's a really freaking difficult place to play. It's sold out. This is before the Lions became the Lions that they are now, and they're really good. They were still really bad. And early, you never want to go there because it's just a madhouse when the people are excited. And the Eagles held on, but it was tough. It was tough. It was a tough, tough game for them.
I had to fight off the crowd last week because I had to rank all 16 NFC teams after the first wave of free agency. And I do laugh how this team's fan base agreed with me, but no one else did. I put the Rams, I think, fifth or sixth. I can't remember. And my reasoning was they still can't stop the run. Saquon Barkley is still running.
They can't. I'm torn. I've grown because I would rip the Rams, but Jordan Mailata turned me around because Jordan was like, man, that pass rush. He was like, he was really impressed.
Lane's the same way. I talked to Lane about that. And Lane and I got into like a 5-minute discussion on Brandon Fisk.
I could see the Rams being the toughest contender in the NFC with the Eagles this year.
I think with the top end talent, yes. I'm still not.
But they got to figure out a way to stop. You got to be better at stopping the run.
Yeah. They signed Puna Ford. I'm not saying he's going to be the end all be all, but I think they're doing things to try and answer that. And if they get that answer,
their linebackers are bad though.
Oh my God, that linebacker! I hate to pick on him.
I know.
Christian Roseboom.
Oh my God, that's not an NFL player.
No, and he signed. He was a free agent. They let him walk. Really fast.
Oh yeah. Oh well, they drove him to the airport, but he's probably not. I'm probably being too harsh, but he was not good. He is not a starting NFL linebacker.
John, do you still think by him a couple of times?
John, yeah. I put Detroit at number two. Would you agree with that?
Well, I have concerns about Detroit because of I have concerns about everybody. But when you lose your both your coordinators, I think that's an issue.
Yeah, but that's what
talent,
I
talent wise, I
that's
would
how
say
I
yes.
did it. Yep.
Talent wise, I would yeah. say yes.
And we did this ranking on the afternoon show. I had Eagles 1, Lions 2, Commanders 3.
That's what I had.
Rams 4. And I put the Packers 5 over the Vikings because I don't know what
the Vikings don't have a quarterback. I would put them 2 if they had a quarterback, but they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. Right. So I put Packers, Vikings, and then I put the Bucs. I think the Bucs are going to be pretty good.
So I put the Vikings.
I would because
I like their roster, but I agree with you guys on the quarterback.
They're rough, Jeff. If they were, let's just say they got Aaron Rodgers for a second, and I know Aaron's
if they had Aaron, I'd put them 2.
Heck, if they had Sam Darnold, I'd put them.
I'd put them 2. But they don't. I don't believe in JJ McCarthy a little bit.
So it was funny. So basically, everybody thought the clickbait was how low I put Tampa, but I gave Tampa a ton of credit. I said, "Look, Tampa's good, but I'm not ranking them by playoff seeding. I'm ranking them based on how I feel they are 1-16."
Where did you have them?
I had them 10.
Ooh, you had them. But
I said, someone's going to win the NFC South. It's going to be them, and they're probably going to win a playoff game because they are a good team.
I like Tampa.
I do too.
I like Tampa too. I'm a Baker Mayfield. I like Baker Mayfield. I like the way he plays.
I'm trying to – I don't like anybody. I guess I'd have to go Washington too.
You know the team I had higher, and I had to rethink it, but they're higher, Chicago.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, they've done a very good job. I've given them a ton of credit. But
it's like I say, my boys are defense coordinator now. They're a top 10 defense again.
How about this as a sleeper NFC team? Not probably a real contender yet, but a team that can win some games. I put the Panthers at 10.
I put them higher too. I had them like 13.
I think they've done some nice things. Yeah,
I don't like the organization.
Oh, yeah, the organization.
I don't like the coach. I don't like the quarterback. You know, I don't like Mike K. I'm joking, Mike.
Where's Mike K at? Let's get him on here.
But I don't like the organ. I think the owner's a disaster. I don't like the quarterback. I don't like the coach. I mean, I can't go Carolina.
I will say this. One of the most impressive throws I saw this season was Bryce Young eluding Josh Sweat.
There might be a little bit of Bama in me here.
Bryce Young should have beat the Eagles. If Leggett could catch it.
Yeah, Leggett could catch him. Oh, by the way, John, how do you think the season goes? Do you still think the season ends the same way if Leggett catches that pass and the Eagles lose to Carolina?
That's a bad loss. That could set you back. It's up to tell.
Was Carolina the passing comments game?
Maybe.
Is that the game? Because Pittsburgh was the next game, right?
Yeah.
Then it was.
The game was the game that came out and started gunslinging everywhere.
That was the game where we had everybody calm down on Birds 365. We got the bees back in the nest.
Yes.
And then Brandon Grant decided to punch it.
Yes, he did. He did. That is so well,
that, I mean, that was a bad game. That was a terrible game by the Eagles, and they should have lost it. And, yeah, I mean, everybody was upset, and everybody should have been upset. And maybe you're right. Maybe it doesn't turn. Maybe it doesn't wake people up.
Especially after you won what I thought was their most impressive win of the season when they beat Baltimore and Baltimore. That was an
impressive win.
This team is probably going to the Super Bowl. If they're not going, it's going to be pretty close.
Yeah. Guys, let me ask you this on another NFC team. What do you think the 49ers are going to be this year?
Okay. I like how they drafted. I do think they have good young players, but
man, yeah, not a big fan of where they're going.
Me neither.
But I love the coach.
Yeah, I think John Lynch is very arrogant.
Yeah, a little bit. They'll reboot, but it'll take them a while, I would say. Yeah. But they'll win. They'll still be over 500. But
by the way, John, they're
struggling because they gave up all those first round picks for Trey Lance.
I know you don't.
Well, when you hit, same thing. But again, it's blown up because it's quarterback. Yeah, they missed on Trey Lance, but they found the quarterback in the 7th round. The Eagles missed on Andre Dillard. But I'm talking about
they gave up 3 first rounders, though. I mean, that for us, just put it in Eagle land, that's Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, and Jordan Davis. Imagine if our team didn't have them, we'd be in a way harder spot.
Yeah, but if you bind a quarterback, you don't give a shit what you give up to get it. Now, if you don't believe in Brock Purdy, and I don't necessarily believe in Brock Purdy as much as other people, but they do, or they claim they do.
Well, one of my bold predictions this offseason was, obviously it didn't happen because I had to go bold. So one of my bold predictions was they're going to sign Sam Darnold to trade Brock Purdy.
I didn't hate that as a bold prediction. Because I'm not sold that they're sold to the tune of $55 million. I mean, it's one thing to like a guy. Hey, I'll give you a Baker Mayfield. I'll give you a Sam Darnold deal, right? What did Darnold get? 3 years, $100 million or something in
which
that
which is
range.
A good contract.
It's a great contract. Yeah. But there's obviously some agents want their quarterback to set the market, be the next big man. I don't think Brock Purdy's that. By the way,
Zane, I do have to pat myself on the back for these bold predictions. I did have two right.
Right,
I said Geno Smith is going to get traded. I got that one. And Brandon Cooks is going to end up back with the Saints.
There you go.
I don't know how I got that.
I don't know why you would even bring up Brandon Cooks.
Because I had I had to do 10, and I said, you know what? Brandon Cooks and Derek Carr, they kind of go, he fits a Kellen Moore scheme. Yeah, let's do it.
Did you shoot 2 for 10 from the field here?
I think I was 2 for 10.
We haven't talked about what about the great Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier in New Orleans? Nobody's talking about the Saints. Are they a potential surprise team?
Mm-hmm. I put the Saints at 15.
I don't see it.
I don't think they could beat 15 for this reason. As much as people, and it has nothing to do with Kellen, but I wish him well. Doug, I like a lot. I wish him well. Derek Carr's not that bad. I don't know why people get that.
He's actually the perfect QB for Kellen.
You know what, John? I think we need you and Josh Dubow, like, together on Birds 365. You know who Josh is? He's like I call him the Rob Motti of the West Coast.
I don't know him, but go ahead.
So he defends Derek Carr a lot.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, I think people lose. I do the same thing with Darnold. They're good quarterbacks. Are they great? No.
No. But you can at least do something with
them. Yeah, people have a tendency to go too far one way or the other. Yeah, John's bringing them back to the middle.
You know, I always love the people that go, they're mid. I'm like, mid isn't bad.
Yeah,
like everybody thinks I hate Geno Smith because I said he's the definition of mid. I said I'm not saying he's bad. I just said he's mid.
Yeah, Geno Smith is mid. I mean, come on. I'm happy for him. He revived his career in a big way, but he's definitely mid for sure.
I say above average. He's above average,
which is probably the equivalent of mid, which is the new slang and terminology. Yeah.
If that's the slang, to me, mid is middle. I think he's above the middle from my perspective.
I don't know. He's probably not above us. There's 32 starters. Is he above 15?
I had people laughing on my Instagram this week, speaking of quarterbacks, when the Giants signed Jameis Winston. Xander, you seen Hocus Pocus?
No.
Okay. Then you guys won't get the reference. But for anybody who's seen that movie, in the beginning, there's these two bullies named Jay and Ice. And when the lead character's sister says he's a little leaguer when he's apparently going to fight him. They go, whoa, like this. So that's how I use that scene for Jameis Winston when the Giants signed him. We should all be shaking in our boots.
Jameis Winston got 2 years and $8 million, I think. And Cooper Rush got 2 years and over $12 million.
Who's a better player?
That's actually a good deal for the Giants. Joe Shane finally doing something right.
Oh, and by the way, I don't think he's done getting a quarterback here.
I'm joking, you know, Jameis. The problem is, if you turn the football over, nobody wants you. I mean, like, Jameis Winston can go out and throw for 400 yards on any given day.
He can also throw five interceptions on the same day.
He could light it up. How many backup quarterbacks can light it up in the NFL? Very few. Very, very few.
You know what? You know who used to do it really well, and then he became a starter and just sucked? Matt Flynn.
Yeah, well, yeah. Didn't they get like a second-round pick for Matt Flynn, the Packers?
Yeah, I think they did. And that was the same year the Seahawks drafted Russ.
Yeah, Matt Flynn. Yeah, he got a big deal. He got a big deal at the time.
Yeah.
That's a good poll, Jeff Kerr.
What about the Cowboys, boys?
What about them?
What do you think they're going to be this year? Because a lot of Eagle fans are, I think they're going to be better. They got Dak Prescott.
They got to be better.
They got Cooper Rush.
They got to be better.
People are telling me they're going to be worse. I'm like, they can't be worse.
No shot.
Dak is better than Cooper
Same reason I just talked about. They have a good quarterback. They had a bad quarterback. Now they have a good quarterback.
They have a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League. And look, as much as I like to rip Dak Prescott and his playoff success, he's still good.
Yeah. Yeah, people are crazy. And that's why I said, you know, even Geno, you can't buy 16 better than Geno. No fucking way. You're lying to yourself if you say they're 16.
This is like my thing, though, like with social media right now. This is where I kind of tell Cowboys fans to sit this one out. You can get off the whole, if Dak Prescott was on the Eagles, he'd win. He'd win the Super Bowl. I'm like, well, we don't know that, for one. And two, stop with your regular season fetish for Dak Prescott. Like,
yeah, I'm torn on that. I've been on this kick with the quarterback evaluation is broken. It is irreparably broken. Nobody can talk about the position in a cognitive way. Nobody.
I would have joined in the fray for you, John, but I held out. Some Vikings fan was, I forget what he said about Jalen Hurts on like my thing about Jalen Hurts' fourth quarter stats since like in the playoffs or something like that, or second half stats in the playoffs. They mentioned something. It was something to do with the Vikings. I almost responded back. Jalen Hurts has more playoff wins than the Vikings have since 2000.
Yeah.
Just to add on.
First of all, and again, because people get hammered in because we're an Eagles show, Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback. Very good quarterback. He was a very good quarterback before he won the Super Bowl. He was the same player after he won the Super Bowl.
And he's a clutch quarterback.
And Vic Fangio had the greatest, because he was asked the same thing, had never won a Super Bowl. Greatest quote ever. I'm the same coach I was yesterday.
Yep,
this is a great accomplishment. That's what it is.
Yeah, but accomplishments.
You don't evaluate players on one game, ever. You know, maybe the best, I was thinking about this, because Nick Foles, and I was talking about personnel, like, for personnel people, it's not difficult. I was telling Xander this. Maybe the best example of this was the 2018 championship game, the Nick Foles game, where they beat Minnesota. Minnesota, you remember who Minnesota's quarterback was that year?
Case Keenum.
Case fucking Keenum. I believe he was fourth that year in MVP voting.
He was.
The Vikings
should not have played in that game, by the way.
Well, yeah, Sam Bradford was healthy, but he hadn't played all season.
No, but that was the year of the Minneapolis Miracle, Minnesota Miracle, whatever they called it.
Yeah,
and look, I agree.
No, but here's the point, because I don't want to get. I got to make my point. Like Minnesota knew after they weren't moving forward with Case Keenum. No. They knew he caught lightning in a bottle. And the same thing locally with Nick Foles. The Eagles knew they were moving forward with Carson Wentz. There was no fucking debate amongst personnel people. Because they knew, in Minnesota, they knew, all right, we caught lightning in a bottle. This guy's not good enough. We got to find somebody else. In Philadelphia, they knew, all right, this guy's more gifted, more talented. He's our starting quarterback. When he's healthy, he's ready to go. They both had phenomenal seasons, phenomenal moments up to where they got. Eagles went further. Nick Foles had one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. Nobody in the Eagles building was even, you could hear it on WIP, you could hear it in our mentions, oh, you got to start Nick Foles, he won the Super Bowl. Not even a fucking discussion.
You know, going back to this, I would have said, and look, I know this isn't how things work, but I would have told Carson Wentz, because of that injury, all right, this is what we're going to do. Come hell to high water. We don't care how bad Nick plays. You are not coming back until week 8. You are not coming back. We are going to make sure you are 100% healthy because you are our quarterback. Come hell to high water. We're 6-2. We're 2-6. We're 4-4, whatever. This is the week you're coming back. And we're going to roll with you for the rest of the time.
Well, they did. It's ironic because obviously got hurt very late in December. He tore his ACL. He tore his LCL as well. Very serious injury. Was not ready for week 1. no surprise. I forget what, whatever, what, when he took over. All I'm trying to say is it was never a debate in the Eagles building. Never a debate.
And it shouldn't have been.
When he was healthy, yeah, but, he was starting quarterback.
But accomplishments still matter, guys. Come on.
Who said accomplishments don't matter?
I still think part of the thing that ruined Wentz was when Foles came back and literally led him to the playoffs again.
Well, yeah, Carson got hurt again, and then Nick had to come back in and did lead him to the playoffs. But again, I think people forget because that's what there's a lot of revisionist history. When he did get hurt in 2017, those final couple games in the regular season were so fucking bad offensively mm-hmm. to the point that Doug had Frank Reich and John DiPilippo scale things back and change the entire offense to make it more RPO based, build it around what Nick was more comfortable with. It was bad. Those few games, and then they took off in court, and they weren't even good against Atlanta. Atlanta was the game they could have lost in the playoffs.
I think like 20 years from now, everybody's going to be like, how the hell did Doug Peterson win the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I think Doug did a good job here.
I think he did too, but I think nationally people are going to think that. You know, well, just heaven forbid, Mike Lombardi is the voice of God for some people.
Yeah. But then the next season, again, at the start of the season when Carson wasn't healthy, they weren't very good. And then he came back and they were sort of mid, to use the kids' words. And then, you know, Nick came back in. Carson got hurt. Nick came back in. They made the playoffs again. And that was the double doink year.
By the way, that was a fun game, the double doink game.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Golden Tate caught the touchdown. Yeah.
Ran the wrong route. Caught the touchdown.
Ran the wrong route. Yeah.
It's funny how that works.
I think Nick Foles is legend.
Yeah. You know, Patrick Mahomes, when the Chiefs beat one of the famous things that nobody brings up on the second corn dog touchdown, they weren't lined up correctly.
They weren't. They've admitted that.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, the NFL films had him mic'd up. You can hear it right on the field. They didn't line up right.
Yeah.
So a bunch of that shit happens, and you either adapt and succeed or you don't adapt. And Golden Tate ran the wrong route, and they succeeded.
It's a great catch. Probably made the third-round pick you traded for him worth it.
Yeah. Nelson almost beat me up over Golden Tate.
Same with Dotson. Dotson had a big catch.
Was Golden Tate the guy that was that the is that how you triggered him?
Yeah. Well, I wrote, and by the way, I was wrong because Golden Tate was not very good here, but Golden Tate had a long history of being a very good player.
He's a very good player in Seattle and Detroit.
At the end here, he wasn't, you know, he was a declining player. I simply pointed out, I said to Nelson, what are you mad at me for? I didn't trade for him. Howie traded for him. I mean, so he apologized to me, but it's, and I get it when people, but I mean, from what Howie was signaling, he signaled that, hey, Nelson wasn't good enough. And we had to bring in Golden Tate, who was mainly a slot receiver. I think it was a logical way to look at it.
I'll tell you what, Nelson is one of those guys. He's like Landon what's the guy's name that played for the Vikings?
Who?
Landon, the first round wide receiver. I'm drawing a blank on
Laquan Treadwell?
Yes, that's it. That's it. I don't know why I said Landon. I was thinking of the Penn State line.
Nelson's a much better player than Laquan Treadwell.
I know, but they're still around. That's the irony of it.
Is Laquan still around?
Yeah, he signed.
Wow. Yeah. He's done nothing.
Nelson's done something.
Yeah, Nelson. Nelson had a great Super Bowl. His best game here was
a solid career, Aguilar.
Nelson has the Eagles' postseason record for catches in the game. Nelson.
Yeah, but nobody says Nelson Aguilar is one of the best wide receivers in football because he performed on the biggest stage. That, again, my point, I bring it up with Josh Sweat this year. Nobody, I could say Myles Garrett is better than Josh Sweat, and everybody goes, Of course he was.
I have like five theories on why Josh Wendt is not Super Bowl MVP, John. One I'll share off the record with you. But
I'd like to give it to quarterbacks.
Well, that's number one. It's Eli Manning should not have been Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 42.
Not either.
Yeah, either. I love that. Eli's the Super Bowl MVP. I'm like, you mean Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck.
Justin Tuck. MVP. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. But I can say that, who's a great receiver on a shitty team right now? Pick one. There's
DK
so
Metcalf.
Many. DK Metcalf. I could say I'm DK sure. Metcalf. Hey, guys, DK Metcalf's better than Nelson Agholor and everybody. Oh, yeah. Duh. Why are you saying that?
Either way, there is one receiver that's on that football team. I would love to say he's not as good as people say he is, and that's George Pickens.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I think there's so much hype on George Pickens, and I'm like, I don't know if it's because he's from Georgia.
Well, he's a big play guy. He makes splashy plays, and people
he's got a big personality and stuff. But I don't think he has the skill set, Jeff. That to your point, that's some of the best
too. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I don't like guys who can't run routes.
Yeah, he can't. He can catch balls though.
Because exactly. You can win 50-50 balls and you can do it. You bring up Laquon Treadwell. He's a perfect example. He was a big physical guy. And everybody's like, oh wow. And, he can get 50-50 balls. Can't get separation. You're not going to be consistent.
Sammy Watkins was like that too. He could burn everybody. He could win that jump ball, but it's going to run a slam. Forget it.
Yeah, that's a guy I thought was going to be our pretty good.
I got to give the Chiefs credit, though. They got a lot out of Sammy Watkins.
Yes, they did. They get a lot out of everybody.
Speaking of, that's why Adam Thielen lasts for 100 years. Cooper DeJean had one bad game. We brought up the Carolina
against game. Adam Thielen, one of all bad people.
Game. Because Adam Thielen put him in a fucking blender.
Well, Adam Thielen is awesome.
I know, but to John's point, that's how important route running is, because just Jamar Chase did him. All these other dudes that Cooper went up against at some point in the year, the guy who gave him the most fit was the savvy old route runner who knew what the hell he was doing out there in Adam Thielen.
But by the way, John.
I talked to Cooper after that. He was like, Jesus, dude. He was like, I don't know.
Adam Thielen's like, I'm going to take this boy to school today.
Cooper was like, because Cooper's from Iowa, and he grew up a Thielen fan, which I did not know until after the game.
Well, he got to watch Minnesota State every Saturday.
And, I think it was more the Minnesota Vikings than Minnesota
State.
Nobody knew who he was at Minnesota State. But
Hayden Fox did. Come on.
But, But I didn't know, and he told me after, but he was like, oh, my God. He was embarrassed about his performance. And he was great in every other game. And he learned a lot from it.
By the way, Cooper DeJean, man, consummate professional. That guy just – any question you give him, he answers really well. It's like he was trained.
Yeah, in a good way, though.
Yeah,
not in a Nick Saban way. Which is don't say anything at any time.
That's why Johnny.
What was it? Quinyon Mitchell, someone asked him a question this year and he's like, yes.
Yeah. Oh, Quinyon's. Quinyon's. Yeah.
I'm always like a Quinyon. I'm like, man, I got to really think of what I'm going to ask him just to get a sentence.
Yeah. He's not a quote machine, but he's a very good corner. Very natural corner.
I did get a good answer out of Quinyon though in training camp, and I gotta give I'll give myself a pat on the back for that too when I asked him about, hey, Devontae's telling me about your trash talking.
Oh yeah,
he gave an answer.
He's great, and Slay, I'm gonna miss Slay too, but Slay was like, because I think a lot of people look at corners, and my theory was it's much harder for young corners to play off coverage than press coverage, because you got to communicate and off coverage, you get all these different zone coverages, you got to pass people off, even if it looks like man, it might be man match coverage with Bick. It's really difficult for young corners specifically, and that's why it was so amazing the way Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean played this season. And I, so one day I asked Slay, because Slay's honest, and I asked him, I gave him my theory. And he said, yeah, 100%, 100% correct. Yeah. If you're a great athlete and you point, all right, you're on this guy, that's easy. To play quarters and cover three and go back and forth and mix, man, that's difficult. And if you can play off coverage, I can do, that's what Slay said. If you can play off coverage, I can work with you. If you can't play off coverage, you're in trouble in this league.
So who do we think, John, do you think it's going to be Quinyon and Cooper like as your base corners next year?
Yeah, base, but they rarely.
Yeah, but they base. Rarely use base. Yeah. Like Cooper's still going to be in the nickel.
Yeah, they when they're in the nickel, Cooper will move. But when they only have two corners on the field, yeah, it'll be Quinyon and Cooper.
Yeah, by the way, that's my surprise next year. I think people are going to be surprised at Kaylee Ringo, in a good way.
Oh, I'm a big Kaylee Ringo guy. I think he's going to win the job, but you know. It's going to be more difficult this season.
Did he turn 23 yet?
Yeah, I think he just turned 23.
And yeah. Sanders right. They're young.
They only have four players over 30 as we speak right now.
It might be three.
And they might lose Goddard. And one of them just got here, Charlie Hewlett, the long snapper. They're a little bit too young.
Is Jake Elliott 30?
He is one of the 30. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So two special teams guys. Who's the other 30? Dallas is one. Who's
Lane Johnson?
Lane.
That's fine.
I thought that was going to be the first guy you mentioned.
Lane. Because I was focused
on
that.
Two of the 30 guys being special teamers in the kicker and the long snapper. I mean, it's crazy. This is a young team, man. It's a really young team. But I will say they're a young team that has more pedigree than most young guys, and that a lot of them are very accomplished in their career. You know, people say winning is a habit. Winning is a lifestyle. A lot of these guys have won at every level, and I know it doesn't matter for the pros, but now they have won at the NFL level. I think it's a pretty good group of young guys, but they're still young.
I think that's why I was so impressed when the Patriots started their dynasty, because a lot of those guys on that defense were on the 96 team that lost to the Packers. Like Ted Johnson and a lot of those guys, like I was like, wow, this is an older football team, but they ended up winning three of them in that era.
I think people are going to realize how good Slay was this year.
Yeah, I think they are too. I think a lot of people know how good Slay is, but they don't want to admit it. He's a me guy, John. He's a me guy. Give me a break.
Exact opposite, by the way.
Yeah. Exact opposite. I'm telling you, social media has a lot of people fooled.
Well, Jeff, we and John, I'm happy you brought this up real quick. We'll close it out with this. Me and John brought this up last week. We talked about the Devontae Smith comments on the podcast about Darius Slay. And I'm like, look, I know some Eagle fans have opinions on Slay because of the podcast and some of the stuff he puts on Twitter. I get it. It's not all
the best thing
in the world.
Yeah,
but when Devontae Smith goes on a podcast and tells me, I'm the route runner I am because Darius Slay in practice grilled me every day and helped me as a receiver in this league. I'm going to say, okay, that opinion matters a little bit more to me than any of the fans who don't like what Slay says on a podcast. So I really don't give a shit what people think of Darius Slay. Based on the teammates and the people that matter's opinion of him, I like Darius Slay, and I don't think he should get much hate, but he does get a lot.
I mean, he's a captain for a reason. Whether you agree with it or not, it's what that locker room.
And he was great this year for a 34-year-old corner, man. I was wrong on him because I'm at one point last offseason, I'm like, should they move on from Slay and just get these young guys some work, man? But he was really good. He's going to be missed for sure.
I want them to bring Slay back, but I also agree with that old theory. It's better to get rid of him a year too early than a year too late, even though next year is his last year anyway.
I agree with that. I get why they did it. I just think they're not going to be as good.
Yeah,
so. And in the short term. But at some point, you know, Father Time hits the snooze button on some players more than others, but he's coming. He always arrives. He might be late.
Yeah, ask Aaron Rodgers how that's working out.
Yeah. Tom Brady, you know, most notable players like that. But even Lane Johnson, it's coming. I don't know when.
You got to delay it. That's usually
when the body starts break down. That's what we're talking about.
People is Barry Sanders like the only player ever where fodder time didn't hit him?
Well, he left early.
Well, yeah, he left. So we all know if it ever hit him.
Yeah, it would have hit him. I mean, but he left. He retired.
You know who did the best fodder time impression in my I only want to say in my lifetime, maybe all time. The fact that, and again, because he just passed away, George Foreman wins the heavyweight title, then loses it like 2 weeks later. Yeah, I'm not fighting that guy. I'm going to lose. I love that. Yeah, I'm not fighting him. Yeah. Oh, we want you to fight him. No, not doing it. Well, then you're going to lose your belt. I don't care.
Rest in peace to George Foreman. You know what I loved about George Foreman? A bunch of his kids, he named them all George.
He has a girl named Georgette, doesn't he?
He's been on Jacob multiple times, so I got love for George Foreman.
Big George Foreman, man. I could watch him knock out Michael Marr any day of the week. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Just wore him down.
For anybody were the days that boxing was boxing. You know, a lot of young people probably don't know how important boxing was back in the day.
I still say, in a way, George Foreman and Muhammad Ali killed each other that night they fought.
They might have, yeah.
He probably killed Muhammad Ali in a way.
Speaking of boxing, Evander Holyfield, because George Foreman eventually fought Evander Holyfield. He was probably I was at that fight because it was in Atlantic City.
Was that the first? Wasn't Evander Holyfield the first of the non-cherry picked fights?
Maybe Evander beat him. I don't remember, but I think it went the whole distance, which is pretty amazing because Evander wasn't really a heavyweight.
No, he moved up.
He moved up. So he didn't have the power of most, like George was a legitimate heavyweight, but he was 100 years old at the time. So he lost, but he hung in. It wasn't close, obviously, but I was impressed that he hung in. But then I'm thinking about Elijah Holyfield, who was an Eagles running back.
Yeah.
For those who remember.
From Georgia.
Yeah, from Georgia. Debuted for WWE yesterday on television on one of their shows. So there you go. Elijah Holyfield.
Fun. John, did you guys ever, you guys watch 30 for 30 at all?
Occasionally.
You ever see Chasing Tyson?
I did not.
That's a really good Holyfield one because it's basically sums up what led to Tyson Holyfield in 96 and 97. But because Tyson was in jail, probably should have happened way before that.
Because Tyson was in jail. Yeah, those were the days.
Evander Holyfield, I swear, that guy never said anything wrong. He was like just the quiet guy, but I'm going to knock you the F out when I'm going to fight you.
And there was one of the greatest upsets in sports in Philadelphia this weekend.
Oh, you the wrestling championship. The wrestling championship. Yeah.
Abel Stevenson lost to some kid from.
He was down what, 2-3 points with like 30 seconds left?
Was down 4-2 with like 30 seconds left and he got a takedown.
Yeah. You lose those fights.
Guy had not lost since 2019. One of the great upsets in Ed Kratz. If Ed Kratz was, he'd never shut up about it.
Did Ed Kratz go to the wrestling championship?
He was there, not for the finals, but he was there, I think.
Oh, that final was crazy, man.
On Saturday.
See who won the national championship again?
Jeff, I'll give you credit. Yeah. Penn State is a wrestling.
Well, they stole, what's his face? Their coach.
Dale Sanderson. I knew as soon as they got him my senior year of college. I'm like, I'll just rack him up, baby. Yeah.
I was interested in the dude that lost the heavyweight one because he did a stint in WWE, a stint in the NFL, Gable Stevenson or whatever his name
is. Yeah, and then he lost. That was one of the biggest upsets ever in amateur wrestling.
Yeah, it was crazy.
He's an Olympic gold medalist, world champion, one of the greatest amateur wrestlers of all time. That would have been his third, but he took time off. As you mentioned, he was trying to get into WWE. He was trying to make the NFL, so that's probably why he lost. But even so, that was one of the biggest upsets ever. And he did it with like 30 seconds left. It's pretty cool. pretty cool.
John, you probably know this. You're a big WWE guy. Do like WWE like people watch the wrestling championships and say, okay,
oh yeah, they got that. Oh yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Kidding me. Yeah. Pipeline for them.
They got yeah.
Yeah.
One of the Olympic the women is trying to become she won an Olympic gold medal. I forget her. Tara Mensah Stock or something like that. She was
I saw, was it Bailey that was in NXT last week or 2 weeks ago? She was fighting in that.
Yeah, Bailey, yeah. Occasionally. Are you talking about just
the, she just the, happened to show up.
Yeah. Well, there's two Baileys, that's why I asked. There's a younger Bailey and then
the good Bailey. The older Bailey. One. Yeah, the Bailey.
Yeah,
she's got the purple hair and stuff.
Or yeah, like, yeah, or whatever color she has.
Yeah, whatever color she makes it. Yeah,
yeah.
She's still like the champ, or did she?
No, she's not the champ right now. But she's like a triple. You know, she's won every championship they have. Yeah, so
say she's won everything. There is.
But she's not the current champion. You get everything on this show. You get wrestling. You get pro wrestling, amateur wrestling.
I almost gave you guys an F1 reference today.
Oh, I would have been good. I watched the Grand Prix. Well, I didn't. I watched the.
Did you? By the way, did you see Liam Lawson's comments, Xander?
No.
Oh, what an asshole! So
I don't. I don't like this season already, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh well, it's going to be boring because it's going to be McLaren. Yeah, but so they're already talking about replacing Liam Lawson at Red Bull for Yuki Tsunoda. Yeah, and this is what Liam Lawson said: "I beat him in juniors. Who gives a shit? You suck."
By the way, you know, there's one thing we haven't talked about, the NCAA tournament.
That's true.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought the patina.
Did you guys think Derek Queen walked?
Oh, my God. That's traveling in the NBA.
Traveling everywhere.
I don't want to be that guy, but I'm like, everybody's like, what a shot. He took three steps. What? Yeah. Why is there any? It's like. Why is that not traveling?
So last night I told Ricky Ricardo this story because I was going to come on the last game after the tournament, and Ricky dials me up. He goes, there's only 30 seconds left. We'll get you on right after that. And, you know, I'm like, okay, Ricky, whatever. So I'm watching the game. I have it on mute. The coach in me is loving it because Arizona is up three. They're in the double bonus. Oregon's in the double bonus, and I'm just yelling, as soon as Oregon gets the ball, just foul him. And they do. So it takes 13 minutes to play 30 seconds because they don't want Oregon get out three. Oh, I hate it as a fan, but I love it as a coach. And guess what? Oregon couldn't catch them.
Well, that's the problem with me with college basketball. In college basketball, it's about the coaches. It's not about the players, and I don't like that.
That's why I picked McNeese State, because
like everybody was so excited because John Calipari was matching up with Rick Pitino. I'm like, 270. Oh yeah, 270.
By the way, talk about another fraudulent New York basketball team, the St. John's Red Storm.
Just I don't know, but I'm rooting for Arkansas because I didn't even know. I spent like 10 seconds watching college basketball this season, but. G.J. Wagner is at Arkansas. Okay. I believe
that. Yeah, how about that?
And he's Camden and the Wagners are South Jersey royalty, so I'm rooting for
– I mean, DeJuan scored 100 points in the past.
That kid can hoop, and that Arkansas team is well-coached. That was a great game, Arkansas versus St. John's.
I can't stand, as a basketball fan, Danny Hurley. Can't stand him. So glad he lost.
But for old school bet, they're Milt Wagner and then DeJuan Wagner.
Yeah, there's
DeJuan. And now DJ Wagner. Obviously, grandfather, father. They will, when DJ makes the NBA, I believe he will be the first third generation player. I believe.
Wow, suck that's
it.
Crazy.
Suck it, LeBron.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you taking shots for?
Hey, you know, I got to give Bronny credit, man. He had, what, like 20 points the other night?
Yeah, I saw that. They were gassing him up. That's fine.
I always said this. I really don't have a problem with Bronny. I have a problem with how LeBron got Bronny in the league, even though Bronny's good.
I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, he's like freaking James. I mean,
what I don't like about LeBron. It's, oh, don't drift my kid. Shut up, dude. Your kid's good enough.
I get that.
If I was a team – I agree
with that.
I mean, would have faced the wrap.
Yeah,
if I was the Sixers, I would have said, you know what? I'm going to put your
money in the mouth. I would have drafted him just to spite them. I would
have.
Oh yeah, I would have too.
And I would have said,
I also think that LeBron would have been better off, you know, for his son to let him have the adversity or whatever it would be, you know, to go through that process.
I think Bronny goes through enough adversity because of his dad.
I don't consider that adversity.
I just mean like let him experience the
process. Make it on your own.
Going to an organization, going to a city, embracing those things, G League, whatever it might be.
I think Bronny can. That's the irony of it. I don't think he's a bad player at all.
The problem is LeBron's so freaking good at 100 years old, he's still playing. You know, they call the NFL a pedigree league. There's tons of second generation guys. They're never playing with their fathers.
No. But how many Matthews played?
Yeah, exactly. You know.
That would have been incredible if Peyton like would have played with Archie. Even though they were 16 years apart.
Yeah, so it's so rare where, you know, somebody could be good enough to be the best player on his team.
Think about this. This guy, LeBron, is good at 18, and he's probably better at 40.
Yeah.
It's a freak.
I think there's some help there. You can read into that what you want, but modern medicine is something else.
I'll read into it when I got reading into it there, John.
Jeff, well done today, brother. We appreciate all the time you spent with us, a little off-season talk. We hit everything today, boys. Jeff, thanks for joining in, man. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week. All right, brother?
Sounds great. By the way, this is peak off season, by the way, guys.
It is.
Enjoy opening day, although I think it's supposed to be chilly. Are they opening at home?
No, they're opening in Washington on Thursday. I'm going still to that. Chilly. And then next Monday's opening day. It should be warmer.
Yeah, all right. A week from today will be the home opener for the Phils. Jeff, good stuff, brother. We'll talk to you maybe next week. All right, brother?
All right, yep. See you, guys.
All right.
See you, bud.
There's Jeff Kerr joining the show. Great stuff today from Jeff Kerr. I had a couple Eagles questions that I had for Jeff. I didn't even get to them. I didn't get to Dallas Goedert. I didn't get to any of the things I wanted to ask Jeff Kerr about. But that's all right. We had a great conversation with him about a bunch of things,
You got to move and shake.
Yeah, I like conversation. I know some people, you know, they want Eagles all the time, but I do like good.
Well, I think it was pretty cool that the NCAA wrestling championships were in Philadelphia for people that don't know. And
great. I wish I went, kind of.
Obviously, the NCAA tournament in basketball is going on. Opening day's coming up. So, talk about it. And then you get back to the main attraction.
Yep. You get back to the main course as the Eagles ramp up. Johnny Mac, I do have a topic here for you, the last 21 minutes of the show today. I want to welcome and thank everybody for being here. We got a great crowd again. All right, so thanks all you guys for being here. Hit that like button for us. Help us continue to grow the show. You guys have been showing out. All of our segments last week did great as well. So we appreciate all you guys for being here, especially for the viewers who listen after the fact or listen to the segments. Not everybody can catch the full show, so the podcasters, everybody's been crushing it, so we appreciate all you guys for listening.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.